Take your Bibles, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Stand with me, please. This morning we'll read one verse of Scripture and then read this together. I'd like for you to read it out loud with me out of the old King James Version. And the Bible said, read this with me now, everyone. Therefore, if any... Let me hear you now. Come on. One more time. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Here we are on the new day of a new year. This is the first time we've ever been in church in 2012. I want to preach to you a little while this morning on the thought, seven new things for the new year. Seven new things for the new year. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord on this first Sunday of 2012, this first day of a brand new year. And Father, as we pause just a minute and reflect back upon 2011, there's been mountains and there's been valleys. There's been good times and bad times. Father, there's been times that the joy bells of heaven have rung, and then, Lord, there's been times when the dark shadows have crept in. Now I pray, Father, that as we try to preach the precious word of God today, that you might anoint us from on high. Lord, we realize nothing can be done apart from the moving of the Lord. Lord, I recognize today that I'm nothing more than just an instrument, and I pray for the moving of the Lord. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit of the Lord would touch every heart. Father, save that one, maybe lost without thee. That one that's walked afar off in 2011. That one this morning, as we began to preach, the precious Holy Ghost of God would grab that heart. And Lord, I pray they would make their way back and start this year off aright and anew. Father, everything that you do for us, let us be careful to praise you, for it's in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray, and for his sake we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. Now, beloved, as we begin a brand new year, this 2012, as the choir sang this morning, I don't know about tomorrow. And my friend, as you look around, you and I cannot say what tomorrow may hold. But I'm glad today to tell you I know the one that holds tomorrow. I'm glad I serve the one that put the stars in space. I'm glad I serve the one that put the moon in its place. I'm glad I serve the one that holds the earth in his hand. And beloved, when we know that, we can face tomorrow. You know, as we start a new year, many of us are tempted to look back into the 2011 and live in the past. Oh, we do need to reflect back on the past mistakes and learn from those mistakes that we can move forward. My friend, may I say to you, thank God for the victories in last year and the year before. But we cannot live on past victories nor live in past defeats. Here we are in 2012, a brand new year that God has given to us. And with that, God has given us seven new things. And my friend, I want to share those with you this morning. You know, the Apostle Paul, he knew what it was like to put the defeats and put the disappointments in the past. He said in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth under those things which are before, I press forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Beloved, this morning, may I say to you, whatever difficulties you faced in 2011, put those behind you. Whatever disappointments you faced in 2011, put those behind you. All those sins that you had to deal with in 2011, would you put those behind you and recognize God has given you a brand new year. He's given you a clean slate. And what you do with this year will depend upon these seven things that I want to share with you this morning. You say, "Preacher, what has God given us as we begin a brand new year?" Number one, We have been given a new faith. Notice, if you would, my friend, perhaps your faith was lacking in 2011. Perhaps your faith was not as strong as it ought to have been in 2011. What kind of faith does God want us to have in 2012? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need a faith that's centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen right there? My friend, listen, if you put your faith in the things of the world, you'll be sadly mistaken and disappointed. If you put your faith in the things that you can make with these hands, you'll be disappointed. If you put your faith in the things of wealth, you'll be disappointed. In 2011, many lost money in the stock market. I remember one fellow that told me, as that stock market fell one day, he said, I lost $10,000 in one day. Oh, listen, I wouldn't know what $10,000 looked like to lose it. Say amen. But he did, and he said, I lost $10,000 in one day. Friend, if you put your faith in the stock market, it'll let you down. Some people lost their job in 2011. I don't know where this economy is going, and neither do you. One thing I do believe is that we're headed for some dangerous and hard times. I believe that we're headed for some difficulties in the future, regardless of who sits in the White House. But my friend, can I tell you that if you put your faith in your job, you'll be sadly disappointed. Some lost money in 2011. Some lost jobs in 2011. Some even had their homes foreclosed in 2011. My friend, what I'm saying to you, if you trust in the things that man, you'll be disappointed. But if you trust in the Lord God of heaven, if you put your faith in him, you'll never be disappointed. He'll never let you down. He'll never turn his back on you. He'll never come up short. Amen. And the faith that's centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Joshua chapter number 1, we've been studying that on Wednesday night. Joshua has been commanded of the Lord to go into the promised land. Oh, Moses, because of his anger and because of his disobedience, he cannot enter to the promised land. God said, Moses, you've done a great job, but you'll not be able to enter the promised land. I've commissioned Joshua to take the people into the promised land. And there in Joshua chapter number 1, as he was beginning to face a brand new year, as he was beginning to face going into a land filled with giants, filled with danger, filled with all kind of adversities and battles. God said to him, he said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee, and even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I've given unto you, as I've said unto Moses. And this is what I want you to hear, my friend. He said, there shall not be any man able to withstand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And friend, I want to tell you, put your faith in something that cannot fail. Don't put it in the stock market. Don't put it in gold and silver. Don't put it in a job. My friend, put your faith on the rock of ages, the one that'll never leave you and disappoint you. He'll never fail you. Thank God he'll be with us from day one till the end of this year, if we're still around and Jesus hadn't come back. Aren't you glad for that? Say amen. But my friend, what kind of faith we need? We need a faith in 2012 that will work for the Lord Jesus Christ. James chapter number 2 and verse 17 says, so then, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead.
being alone. My friend, let me tell you, I am saved by grace, and that not of myself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved, through faith. It's nothing I've ever done. It's nothing you've ever done. But the mercy and the grace of a loving God reached down and saved us by His grace. Amen. But now, friend, let me tell you something. If you're saved this morning, you ought to work for Jesus. Say amen. I mean, listen, if God has saved you by His marvelous grace, and God reached down and pulled you up out of that miry pit, and He established my goings, He put a new song in my mouth. Thank God. Listen, all that God has done for me, is it not just something I could say that I ought to serve Him all the days of my life? Amen. Help me out. Amen. I ought to work for God when I got saved. We're not saved by works, but a saved person ought to work. Will you say amen? We don't work to earn salvation. That's a free gift. We work because we love Him. As one person said, I would not work my soul to save for that which my Lord hath done, but I would work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. And in 2012, can I challenge you this morning? I don't know where you're at in your walk. I don't know what you did in 2011, but put that behind you and say this 2012, this beginning of a new year, this first day of the new year, would to God we'd have 100% of folk that are saved by the grace of God and would say, I'm going to serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my body, with my tithes and offerings. I'm going to serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. Say, preacher, you could have said all that and left that last part off and then made everybody say amen. Honey, I believe this. We're going to serve God with everything He's given us. Amen. Amen. What else, preacher? What else has God given us in 2012? Number two, He has given us a new position. Thank God I've got a position on the Rock of Ages. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 40 verse 1 and 2, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, David said, I waited patiently upon the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry, and He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on a rock and established my goings. I'm glad to tell you in 2012 we ought to be on the rock of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Instead of putting our feet in the things of this world on sinking sand, as Jesus described in Matthew chapter 7, there were two men that tried to build a house. Now, I don't know a whole lot about building a house. I used to work. My daddy was a carpenter, and I helped him out some. I knew a little bit about it. Brother James knows about it. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you go out here and you don't have a good foundation, your house is going to crumble. Amen? I mean, listen, I don't know if you're going to, I guess it depends on how big a house, but how deep a footing do you have to pour down? 2 foot, 16 inches out of concrete. About 16 inches of concrete. Amen. To build a house, you've got to have a good foundation. I mean, honey, if you go out here and you've got good intentions and you buy the best of lumber and you buy the nicest of furniture and your house is sitting on sand, she's going to crumble away. You've got to have a good foundation. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, there are two fellows. One of them went out and he said, I'm going to build a house. I want to tell you something. There's some magnificent houses these days. You may have one of them. I know a fellow, and I won't tell you where you live. It ain't me. Amen. But his house is 7,400 square feet. Amen. I could put 7 of mine in there, Sister Joanne. 7,400 square feet, he and his wife and 3 girls. Praise God, you got enough room to go hunting inside that house. Amen. This man in Matthew 7, he said, I'm going to build a magnificent house. But he built it on sand. This other fellow came over. He said, I'm going to build a house, but I'm going to anchor it on the Rock of Ages. And then the winds came. And the storm came. And it beat against that house. And you know that little song that the children sing sometime. And the house on the sand went kaplooey. That's redneck English right there. Amen. Y'all know what it means? It fell. Why? Because it didn't have a proper foundation. And beloved, if you're not anchored on the Rock of Ages, when the winds come, it ain't if, it's when. When the winds come and the storm comes and beats upon your house, she's going to fall just like toothpicks. But I got news to you, is that if you're on the rock, the position of Christ, thank God when the trials come, when the storms come, when the enemy comes, we can stand and face him. Why? Because we're anchored on the Rock of Ages. Amen. We're positioned there. A Rock of Ages. Let me hasten on this morning. Number three. What else do you have in 2012? A new assurance. A new assurance. Assurance over doubt. I believe one of the hardest things for people ever to get over is trusting God. Now listen, Sister Gail, when you come in this morning, did you come over here and check this pew out first? Why not? You believe it holds you up? Even with Joanne sitting beside of you, you believe it holds you up? Say amen! Listen, not a one of you came in here this morning and tested out that pew. You had enough faith in that pew. Now, wait a minute. You walk up yonder in the choir. Y'all know what I'm about to say, don't you? You better have faith. You better know where you're stepping at. Amen. Because there is a soft place up yonder in the floor. We do that on purpose. If you don't sing right, we pull the trap door and... You know. What am I saying? I'm saying this, my friend, is that you had enough faith in that piece of pew, that wood there, that you trusted it with your life, with your body, that you sat down on it, and you didn't even worry about it. I mean, you trusted in something that man made and man put in here, and you sat down on it with the full assurance it was going to hold you up. And beloved, I want to tell you something, is that as a Christian, a child of God, we trust God with our eternal soul, but it's hard to trust him with our everyday life. When things come your way, now you might walk in tomorrow on Tuesday and they say, you know, we don't need your services any longer. We don't need, you know. And the wolves start knocking at your door. And the foreclosure folks come knocking at your door. You say, preacher, where am I? Help me out. Friend, I got news for you. Is that there are times in our life that we're prone to doubt the word of God, the things of God, the power of God. Well, you're not alone. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. But I'll raise mine. How many have you ever doubted the Lord? I'll raise mine. I'm not alone. I look in the Word of God. And John the Baptist, as great a man as he was, as great a prophet as he was. Oh, my friend, even John the Baptist in Luke 7 verse 19, and John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus and said, art thou he that we said that should come, or are we to look for another? Hey, listen, John the Baptist said, I got to studying on this thing and I just want to make sure that Jesus is the one that we're looking for. He wasn't alone. You remember post-resurrection? Everybody got up in the upper room except one feller. What was his name, by the way? Doubting what? You see, he's remembered not for what he did, but he's remembered for what he didn't do. He doubted. And friend, I got news for you. In 2012, one thing, including from the pulpit to the last pew, is that we need to be able to trust God. Amen. I mean, friend, listen. You look in this world today, and I got news for you. Old time Bible preaching Christianity, old time preaching like what this old boy is trying to do, it's becoming a thing of the past. old time praising the Lord and shouting. Honey, I got news for you. A lot of folk are moving to a more contemporary, a more excitable. Listen, I just got news for you. I still believe the old ways are the best ways. Amen. I believe that the old past is the past that God has blessed down through the years and down through the centuries. My friend, it's time for us to raise our hands up and say, by the grace of God, I'll not doubt His precious promises. They're given there for me. I'll stand on the rock of ages. And while the winds howl, and while the storms come, and while the enemy comes, thank God, I'll not doubt that He will see me through. We need assurance over doubt. Doubt's a horrible thing. It'll rob you of your joy. Some of you may be sitting here this morning. Right now in your mind, your mind's racing a million miles a second. I mean, right now you're trying to think, how am I going to pay for this next week? How are we going to buy groceries? How are we going to pay for the medicine? What's going to happen to Mama? What's going to happen to Daddy? Some of you right now are wrapped up with doubt, honey. What you need to do, as we've sung, bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Our problem is, we'll come and leave them on the altar, and then by the time we get back to the pew, we done jerked them up and put them on our back and carried them out again. God said, cast your care upon me, for He cares for you. Amen. Doubt. Then also, the time's going fast. Assurance over temptation. Get this verse down, Revelation 3, verse 10. John the Beloved is on the Isle of Patmos. And on the Isle of Patmos, John saw the things, as he said, that are shortly to come to pass. Now, can I go on record and say this? I've done some reading, and I've done some thinking, and I know what a lot of these fellows are saying. Some of these folk today that are saying the world's coming to an end in 2012. Well, it might. It might. But I don't need to depend on the Mayan calendar to tell me that. I don't need to depend on Nostradamus to tell me that. All I need is right there in your hand is the Word of the living God. I believe that more than I believe anything else than what the scientists may say and what society may say. I believe that Jesus is coming back again. And John chapter, and Revelation chapter 3, write this verse down, read it this afternoon. The Lord just kind of, I believe old John, now listen, it's not there in the Bible, but I believe maybe John just had a little side conversation with the Lord. And God was beginning to show him the things that are going to come to pass. How many of you believe the Bible? Raise your hand. All right. I didn't look. But in Revelation, it says that there's coming a time of tribulation on this earth that man has not known before. Water be turned to blood. Hailstones weighing over 100 pounds apiece shall fall from the heavens. Great swords will break out on Antichrist worship. By the way, friend, I'm going to preach one of the most important messages in the next few weeks. And I'll tell you what it is, and I want you please be here. And I'm not trying to pump you up. I'm not trying to get sensational on you. But honey, I believe this. I believe in America. I do not find America mentioned in prophecy. I've read the book of Revelation. I've taught the book of Revelation. And I believe this. We in America are headed for an economic collapse in America. I believe, my friend, that we're headed so quickly it would spin your mind some of the things I want to share with you. But what if you woke up tomorrow morning and the dollars you have in your pocket are nothing more than Kleenexes? They'd not be worth the paper that they're written on. She's a coming. It's a coming. And I believe John there, as he began to see some of these things, they're beginning to unfold. I believe perhaps he had a little side conversation with the Lord of glory. And I believe he said, now Lord, what about all those folk? What about your church? What about the saints of God? Listen to what he says in Revelation 3 verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. The hour of temptation, what God and what the Lord is talking about there is that 7 years of tribulation. Honey, I believe that when Jesus comes, he's coming for the church, the blood-washed children of God, and when he gives the shout, the voice of the archangel, honey, when he toots, we're scooting, amen. We're out of here. And that'll happen before all of those plagues in the book of Revelation. Hey, listen, I'm not going through any of that. If y'all want to stay behind and just tough it out, y'all go right ahead. But hey, listen, I'll not be here. Amen. And he said that I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. Honey, there's coming a great tribulation that God's wrath is poured out on this Christ-rejecting world. But thank God for the child of God that knows Jesus. He's washed in the blood. He's got his name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll not be here. He'll be in the presence of God. Have an assurance of that. Oh, I can tell you, there's some preachers today that used to preach that. They don't preach it any longer. They don't believe it any longer. I could take you and I could show you some today. They don't believe in the rapture of the church any longer. I'm one of them that still believes that one of these days the trumpet blast is going to sound and the dead in Christ is going to be resurrected, the living is going to be changed, and we're out of here. Amen. And I've got that assurance. Let me give you one or two more, and I'll let you go get some dinner. What else in 2012? A new service. You may not have served the Lord in 2011. You got a clean slate starting today. A new service means bearing a cross for him. Jesus said in Luke 14:27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Everybody has a cross to bear. God did not promise us a rose garden. He didn't promise a life of luxury and a life of ease. But my friend, he said that everybody has a cross to bear. But I'll help you bear that cross. He'll help you carry that load. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Have you served the Lord in 2011? You may be sitting here this morning, you say, preacher, I didn't serve God like I ought to in 2011. You got a fresh, clean start today. You may not have served God like you ought to in 2011, but you've got a fresh start right now. I want to ask you, did you read your Bible in 2011? Did you pray in 2011? You say, preacher, I have to hang my head. I may not have been as dedicated as what I need to be. Let me encourage you. Get one of our calendars on the back. It's got our church events on the back side. You can start today. If you follow that, every month you can read your Bible through in a year's time. It'll take you maybe 15, 20 minutes. Genesis 1 and 2 and Matthew 1. That's all you would have to read today. And if you read that schedule and you follow that schedule, in 1 year's time, you can say, I have read all 66 books of the Bible. I've read it from Genesis to Revelation, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Wouldn't that be great, friend? You may have said, I didn't do that in 2011. But starting today, I'm going to make a commitment to God on this altar. I'm going to have a fresh start. Here it is, a brand new year, a brand new day, a clean start. I'm going to do it by the grace and the help of Almighty God. Some of you, maybe you didn't serve the Lord at all in 2011, but today you've got a fresh start. Let me give you two more and I'm done. In 2012, we have a new joy. You may have allowed the things in 2011 to rob you of your joy, but you've got a fresh start here today. Joy because of being saved. I just like old-time Christianity that gets the grabs of heart. Amen. I like old-time shouting and singing and praising the Lord. I enjoy that. And if you don't enjoy that, then don't go to heaven because there's a place, my friend, where there's going to be shouting and praising and singing. It's going to be all those things. If you don't like that, then don't go to heaven. By the way, you're living in the quietest side of eternity right now. If you die and go to heaven, if you're saved by the grace of God, there are going to be choirs and singing. There's going to be shouting, praising the Lord. But if you die lost without Christ, you go to the devil's hell. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be people that
that will gnaw themselves for pain. There'll be all kinds of ills in hell. Oh, my friend, you're living in the quietest side of eternity right here. Get used to it. Either get on with the program and shout and praise the Lord and lift your hand and say, hallelujah, I'm saved by the blood. Get a new joy in your life. But some of you may have lost your joy because of having bitterness in your heart. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 verse 19, he said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. You know what will rob you of your joy? Bitterness. Bitterness. You may be sitting here this morning and something happened over 2011 that robs you of your joy. Maybe you had a falling out with a family member. Maybe you had a falling out with somebody at work, and now when you try to look at them in the eye, you duck your head. You know, they come walking down the hallway and you go the other way. I've been in churches before. Hello, not here. Thank God. I've been in churches before. Somebody come in the back door, they'd sit on this side, somebody else sit on that side, and the two shall never meet. There was a great gulf fixed. You know what I'm talking about? When it came time to shake hands, they'd shake everybody else's hand except them two. I know y'all couldn't imagine this, but I have been in church, Brother Steve, that I've actually had folk. I had this one lady one time, boy, I tell you what, I believe she could about chew me up and spit me out. And listen, and I wasn't a preacher there, I was a song leader. But Fred, I mean what? She couldn't look at me, wouldn't look at me. She's eat up with bitterness. Eat up with bitterness. You say, why? Oh, just something that happened in the family there, and she didn't like the way I handle things. Oh, listen. That bitterness will ruin you of your joy. It'll rob you of your joy. But now, my friend, 2012 is here. Put all that behind you. All the hard feelings, all the disappointments, all the miscommunication or whatever it might be. And say, Lord Jesus, I'm not going to live in the past anymore. I'm starting this year off right with a clear conscience, a clear slate. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. Amen. You got a new start. A new start. What else, preacher? Well, in 2012, you got a new prayer life. You may not have prayed like you ought to in 2011, but today you've got a new start. We need to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for those in authority. I need your prayers. This church needs your prayers. Our deacons need your prayers. The Sunday school teachers need your prayers. We need your prayers today more than anything else. Also, what else have you got? We've got a new testimony. This is the last one. You may not have had a good testimony in 2011, but you got a fresh start today. In 2011, you may not have praised the Lord in 2011. The Bible said in Psalm chapter number 119, verse 171, my lips shall utter praise. But I heard some of them talking about yesterday. Boy, today, I don't know. They talked about all the football games that's going to be going on today. Now, I do like football. Amen. 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 I do like, they grab that pigskin and run down that field. And, I really don't have a favorite team, but I like to watch it. Amen. And you're sitting there and all of a sudden you hear this clunk, bam. Son, they about rip the heads off and they just a hard game. I think it ought to be outlawed, but as long as they put it on TV, I'm going to watch it. Amen. But just like Carolina Panthers doing pretty good this year. And I don't know if you're a Panther fan or not. I'm neither here nor there, but I'm just saying they've had a better year than they have had. And them folks that are Panther fans, friend, they go crazy. Look down, yeah, go, look at the old Cam, he threw that ball, boy, he got it, look at old Steve Smith go, yeah. And they set up yonder and they pay money to come watch them. Yeah. They pay money to put on a jersey that's got on the back of it Panthers and advertise. They pay money to advertise for them.
Listen, we didn't charge you a dime to come in here this morning. Now, before you leave, that's a different story. Amen. But my friend, what I'm saying is this. And those people that go and watch a ball game, a basketball, football, tiddlywinks, hockey, whatever, they are called what? You say it. Come on, one more time. Fans. You know what that word means? Fanatic. That's right. A fanatic. You're a fanatic. My friend, listen, for the child of God, we ought to be able to be a fan for Jesus. Amen. We ought to be able to come to the house of God where people of right precious faith and the word of God is preached and the songs of Zion are sung and just be able to lift up a hand and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Amen, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Go, team, go. Amen. We ought to be a fan of him. We ought to have a testimony for the Lord in 2012. I wonder how many folk, and we'll only know till we get to heaven, that died and went to hell because of somebody did not tell them the old, old story. I wonder, have you had a testimony before the lost and before those that did not know Christ? Have you been able to talk to them about Jesus? Have you been able to share your faith? You say, preacher, I don't know how to do that. All you got to do is just share what God did for you. If you've got a testimony, that means that you've been saved by the grace of God. Just tell them how you got saved. That's all you need to do. Amen. Amen. And then last of all, we need a testimony without sin. I look in the Word of God about a man by the name of Job. In Job chapter 2 and verse 10, all the things that came to Job, the death of all of his children, the loss of his health, all the wealth that he had was gone, all of his camels, oxen, all his livelihood was wiped out. He had sores from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. His wife looked at him and said, Job, you're a miserable looking wretch. Why don't you curse God and die? You'd be better off to commit suicide and check out and go on to heaven. His friends looked at him and said, Job, if you'd get right with God, you wouldn't have all these problems. But this is what he said. When his wife said unto him, Job, you ought to curse God and die, he said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking. What? Shall we receive good at the hands of our God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. In 2012, can we have a testimony without sin? I mean, my friend, when the hard times come in your life, don't blame God. If God was to reach down and take a precious loved one, don't blame God. If God was to reach down and all of a sudden tomorrow, next week, you diagnose with some dreaded illness, don't blame God. Have a testimony of praise. It's like old Job said, even though the skin worms may destroy this body, yet I know I shall see him, for my Redeemer liveth. Thank God I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living. Well, he's in my heart to stay. Thank God for a risen Savior. A dead one would do nobody any good. Somebody said, hey, preacher, didn't you hear that God's dead? No, sir, mine's alive and doing well. I'm sorry to hear about yours. But thank God my God is alive. We ought to claim those new things as we start off 2012.